Hungry for Sport. Greg Denham. For Supergroups, Kubota Excavator Finance deals on now.
And last night, Greg, on the football show, Stevie J said he's preparing and he's quite prepared to take a pay cut so that they can get Dangerfield into the Cats.
Well, he may well do, Kev. I think there's a bit of there'll be a few retirements and there'll be a few others that'll leave, and that's why I said to you last week that Motlop's not signed yet, and Collar Dashnage is another one that hasn't signed for next year. So there's a bit of room for Geelong to move if they need to get in Dangerfield and Lockie Henderson at the same time. Pretty smart observation by you in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you, Greg.
The Patrick Dangerfield Cup, I actually like it.
It's not new.
Paul Connors, his manager, has often said to us that there's no way that he's motivated by money and he's going to have a look at the progress of the two clubs this year. I'm suggesting the Cats are probably travelling even better than Adelaide, despite the fact that the Crows really flew out of the blocks this year. And the fact that Geelong's injuries is pretty catastrophic when you really look at it, apart from the long term, as you've got, you know, the Bartell, Clark, Stanley, Duncan, Kelly, and yet they still keep winning. I think they're a fantastic club. And if they happen to beat Adelaide over at Adelaide Oval on Sunday fortnight, well, I think you can probably pencil in that Dangerfield's a certainty to come back home. My understanding is that he probably will leave Adelaide. I don't think that he's been playing games. I think legitimately he's sitting back and making the assessment. We all think he is leaving. So I think that's going to be an absolute fascinating week leading up to it, because it's going to really put Adelaide off their game, because that's all people are going to be talking about, the Dangerfield Cup.
Well, surely you're still playing games with the Crows. If you say, I love playing here, I love the environment.
But that's a good reason
for you to actually stay. But if you're not staying, Greg, I mean, why say those things?
Well, I mean, I love Melbourne, but I might retire in WA. Who knows, Kevin? I mean, I don't know. He probably does love Adelaide. I'm sure he's
saying all the right things.
He is saying.
Is there any other club other than Geelong that's got any chance whatsoever of getting Dangerfield?
No, none. There was a bit of noise earlier in the season that other clubs will. But if you really, I think if you do a bit of homework on the fact, I think no, he'll either stay at Adelaide or come home and be closer to his family and play with Geelong. I'm pretty sure that's. Every club almost knows that now.
If they get Dangerfield, will the Cats win a flag? If they get Dangerfield?
Every chance, Kevin. Yep. Okay. Because I think they've addressed some of the areas that they were a bit vulnerable, like their ruckers. It just can't stand up. Anyone over 6'4" at Geelong just gets injured. They can't stand up. But now that if Stanley gets over this injury, and I hope it's not Liz Frank, because I think that's quite serious and could be out for the rest of the year. He's shown enough this year that he can be their number one ruckman. And if he stands up and plays, yes, I do think the Cats are still in the premiership window.
And if they got Dangerfield next year, that could help them win the flag.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. It just gives them that extra X factor that they probably haven't got now. Stevie Johnson's not the player that he was. There's a few players that are sort of waning down there that won't be there next year. Of course they can win the flag, no doubt.
This is what Stevie Johnson had to say last night on the Footy Show discussing Dangerfield.
Would you like him there?
I would love him there.
What are the confidence levels?
Would you take a pay cut to get him?
Yeah, for sure.
Yep, for sure, he'd take a pay cut. Will he be at Geelong next year himself, Stevie J?
Probably. Probably one more year. James Kelly, maybe doubtful. There's about eight free agents, eight blokes over 30-odd down there, Kevin. They won't all stay, but I would have thought Stevie Johnson probably got one more year in him. Yeah, I would have thought so.
The Giants. I want to talk to you about the Giants and also ask the fans, because they've lost Shane Mumford, and I think with Mumford going out of their side for the rest of the season, I don't think the Giants now can make the finals without Shane Mumford.
Oh, it's not just Mumford, but without...
We've got others as well, I know.
Well, look, without Patful and Davis, I mean, we saw
the young kid get cleaned up, didn't we?
Well, Travis Cloak. You know, they've got a new kid playing this week, another teenager that's coming in to play a key defensive role.
Caleb Marchbank.
Last week we saw Nick Haynes play fullback in the last quarter on Travis Cloak, and I really felt sorry for the kid. Cloak had kicked one goal up to three-quarter time and then just opened up in the last quarter and just out-muscled him. So... They won't make the eight. No, I think that to do that, they would have to win six more games, and I don't think they're capable of doing that with the injury list they've got now, particularly Mumford. No. I think what it's done, unfortunately, I think that would have been great to have GWS in the finals, their first final series this year. But it's certainly given clubs that are not in the top eight at the moment, like Geelong, Port Adelaide, etc., the Western
North
Bulldogs,
Melbourne.
North Melbourne. Now it's given
maybe
them
even Collingwood.
Collingwood will play finals.
Well,
but I'm talking about clubs that aren't in the top eight at the moment.
Certainly Collingwood, are they?
Certainly needs to play finals, Collingwood. Okay. Yes, but I just think that now there's a little bit of sunshine at the end of the rainbow now, with the clubs now can see that there's one, definitely one spot up for grabs. There probably is others, Adelaide particularly, but I think one spot, the GWS spot's going to be with someone's.
Well, outside the top eight at the moment as it stands, and we've got the games this week, of course, you've got the Geelong and you've got Port Adelaide, you've got Western Bulldogs, you've got North Melbourne. That's down to 12th spot. Ruler line under North Melbourne, then you've got Essendon, St Kilda, Melbourne, Brisbane Lions, Gold Coast and Carlton. So we'll say that none of those sides can play finals, even though Essendon supporters may like to differ. So make a case for your club to replace the Giants, if you want to make a case. Make a case and tell us why your club can actually come in, because I don't think the Giants now, particularly losing Mumford, but the other point that you make, Greg, is a good one, losing those key defenders as well. But Mumford, to me, was, you know, the driving force. You know, he's the spirit of the Giants because of his size and
no
playing
doubt.
In the ruck. And without Mumford, I don't think they had any chance of making the finals this year. Until they develop someone else to come along who can, you know, take the pressure off Mumford, or they actually recruit someone. So make a case for your club to replace the Giants. And if one player can make a difference to Geelong, you're saying Dangerfield next year, he can help Geelong win the premiership. Who can make a difference to your club? Which player could you get at your club which would help you win the premiership?
Years ago, the great Michael Jordan commercial about missing how many times he's missed the shot. But again, he wanted the ball in his hands. And that's what, you've got to have that attitude. This is Formula One footy. If you want to drive safe, you're going to finish last. To ultimately win the game, the way teams defend now, you have to then go back to a braver ball movement.
Okay, Formula One, you've got
What's
to
that
drive.
All about?
You've got to drive fast, but you've got to take risks.
What was Look, Adelaide's Phil something Walsh on about yesterday?
Adelaide's...
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
Adelaide's some chance to beat Hawthorn tonight.
No.
It's not a given that
Turn
Hawthorn...
It up.
It's not a walk in the park for Hawthorn tonight.
Yes, it is.
And what's the ramifications if Hawthorn loses tonight, oh, Greg?
Well, not very good. That'd be 6-5 going into the second half of the year. No, not good. Well, both clubs are on 6 wins. So it's a crucial game for both, but I'd be staggered if Hawthorn get beaten.
Also, if you went to State of Origin last night, give us a buzz. 91,513 fans there for State of Origin last night. It was very nice of the occasion to pay tribute to Ron Clark with the moments of silence and also highlights on the big screen. But certainly a big whack to all those yobbos who yelled out during the minute of silence. They're yelling out things like, who is he? You know, screaming out, go Blues or... Go Maroons, I mean, unfortunately...
No class
whatsoever. If you don't know who Ron Clark was, well then just Google, but don't make fools of yourself and don't ruin important moments when people are paying tribute to one of Australia's greatest ever sports stars. Mel's in Malvern. G'day, Mel.
Hey, Stephen Cool.
Cheers.
Grand old day at the moment on the freeway. It's driving me mad, but anyway.
Thank you.
Now, listen, football clubs, like anything else, it's just a business. So what I'm trying to get at is that... with players, you know, like Rance and these guys, if they want to stay, they're going to stay, but you can't make them stay. And what I'm trying to get at is that the more you throw things out, the more they're going to leave. I mean, like, I've got a mate of mine who's got a great business, and he never takes people he wants to work with him out for breakfast or lunch or anything, because if they want to come, they'll come. And or if they want to stay, they'll stay. And obviously, if you know, like with Dangerfield, he's leaving. So it's just let him go and forget about it.
I think Adelaide will worry about it. No one else will, especially if you barrack for Geelong. I think that, but it's a talking point. You know, as Kevin said he's playing games with Adelaide. I said, I think you're allowed to sort of wait till the end of the year and then actually make up your mind. I think it's probably 85% made up. There's still that tiny percentage there that maybe is left in abeyance.
I'm just saying that, you know, if you come out and you keep saying things like, I love playing here, I love the environment, I love the coach, yet you're not sitting down talking about your contract. To me, Greg, you're better off saying nothing.
Yeah, but that's right. But then I mean, it's different in rugby league, Kevin. You can come out and say that and just take off and you sign.
Yep.
But we don't like that culture. I think they're now starting to realise they don't like that culture. So,
no, but don't build up the hopes, I'm saying, of Crows supporters that, you know, you love the place that much and you love the environment that you're going to stay.
Kevin,
you might as well just say, look,
Kevin,
let it run its course and I'll let you know come the end of the season.
Kevin, if we're approaching July and you haven't re-signed and you're one of the most sought-after players in the competition, do you honestly think supporters of your club would have any optimism at all?
Well,
no.
we'll ask Geelong
if they
fans.
Are
you confident
faith.
Now you're getting Dangerfield? Ask the Geelong fans. Are you confident Dangerfield will be playing with you next year? And if you're an Adelaide fan, give us a buzz and tell us whether or not you think there's any chance whatsoever of Dangerfield playing at the Crows next year. Michelangelo Rucci will be joining us in the second hour.
So he'll know. He'll know.
Chat to the Rucci about it as well. Brian's in Chelsea. G'day, Brian. You want to talk about GWS?
Hi, Kevin and Greg. Yes, I do. Initially, because of their draw, GWS were my tip to finish in the top four. But now with all their injuries, even though Greg reckons their list is no good, I reckon
I didn't say
that. Real opportunity for the Tigers to finish fourth.
Yeah, no, I didn't say their list is no good. I just said it's certainly not that good now with the injuries that of the four players that couldn't finish last Sunday's game. I think they were headed to play finals. It was nearly the upset of the year, their form earlier on. I mean, beating Hawthorn, I mean, fair dinkum, honestly. That would rank probably as the biggest upset in footy almost. So, but no, I just don't think that they can do it now. I mean, they've got, in the run home, they've got games against Sydney, Port Adelaide, Fremantle, Geelong, Richmond round 14. Just too tough. And they'd have to win six. They'd have to win six of 10, and I just don't think they can do it.
Dale joins us in Carnegie. He's got some thoughts on tonight's game. G'day, Dale.
Yeah, g'day. I just think Adelaide have a very good chance of beating the Hawks in Adelaide. I mean, I don't know why this no way is going on. I mean, there's two standout sides in the competition this year. There's the Dockers and the Bloods. I reckon they've both got the Hawks covered, and I reckon Adelaide are playing a brand of footy that actually could upset Hawthorn easily.
Well, I never saw it against Carlton, the worst team in the competition the other day. I would have thought they'd have to improve out of sight. I know they've got a slightly better lineup with Douglas back in tonight, but gee whiz, Carlton went pretty close.
Might have been dragged down a little bit by Carlton.
Well, Carlton played all right, actually, so they showed some endeavour.
No, they did.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't rate Adelaide as a particularly good footy team, and I rate Hawthorn very highly.
But, you know, we've got to take into account, I saw Fremantle on the weekend against Gold Coast. And
Kevin, did you see the conditions they played in?
I was broadcasting.
Right, well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, what I'm saying is, Greg, that it was a pretty undermanned Gold Coast side, and it's gone right down to the wire. You know, 6 points at the final siren, they kicked a point after the siren. So what I'm saying is that there are times when you're playing bottom sides that for some reason that you don't perform at your best. Maybe you go into the game feeling pretty relaxed and confident, and you know, we know that that can be hurtful to you. So, you know, just because Adelaide played not so great against Carlton, I wouldn't say that's their normal form. That's all I'm making, Greg.
Well,
I reckon Dale makes a good point. I think it'll be a very tough game for Hawthorn tonight. A very tough game.
You can promote
the
game, Kevin.
Are they playing as well, the Hawks? Are they firing on all cylinders?
Look, they're not playing as well as they were last year. There's no doubt about that. Right, but you only have to look at the blokes that are sitting by, playing twos or injured, ready to come back to put a bit of pressure on those blokes. I think that... yeah, look, there's no doubt, and Alistair Clarkson admitted it yesterday, they're probably two games below where he thought they'd be. And they need to win tonight, and I think they will.
Some of the messages on the SMS machine are suggesting that Jeremy Howe is heading to the Giants.
Well,
what do you know about that?
Well, I know that put it this way, I reckon he's heading north. There's no doubt about that. I think that... The pay packet that he could be on next year would be incredible. I reckon he's an overrated player that Melbourne wouldn't pay the big bucks that some
overrated player.
Yep, I do. I reckon he's greatly overrated.
25 nominations for Mark of the Year.
Oh, big deal, Kevin. You know, if you've got the spring like that, that's terrific. But there's other aspects of the game you've got to play besides taking speckies every
Picked
week.
Picked the goal on the weekend that should have won the game for Melbourne.
Well, it should have too. It was a good kick. I've got to say, GWS had a crack at him last year, as you know, in a swap for, you know, they were trying Stevie Johnson and Howe, etc. I think that the Gabba is probably a good fit for him. They're craving for a key forward, even though he's been playing back and forward. And he's a Tasmanian, isn't he?
Yes.
Well, Scotty Clayton from Suns loves those Tasmanians. I think he's going north. I'm just not sure which airport he's going to stop at first.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back to Sports Central and we'll take more of your calls. Greg is always brought to you by the Spread Eagle Hotel, right in the heart of Tigerland at 372 Bridge Road in Richmond on the corner of Coppin Street. So the Spread Eagle would like to welcome all Richmond supporters in for a drink with friends before we smash West Coast tomorrow night at the G. So go Tigers. That's real Richmond hospitality. Drop in or contact the Spread Eagle Hotel on 94286895.
We remain very confident that Alex will be a Richmond player for years to come. And, you know, he's got some things in life that he values other than footy, and we respect that. And so we're letting him sort of work through those things at his own time. And but that's sort of coming to a head now. And because, as you say, mate, we need to plan for the future and we need to build our list accordingly. But as I said, you know, without going too far, I'm very confident that Alex will be a Richmond player.
But you would have contingencies.
In terms of our planning, mate, yeah, absolutely.
There's great news for the Tigers last night. That was Brendan Gale, the CEO. Very, very confident Alex Ranch is staying at Tigerland, so you heard it straight from the horse's mouth.
I told you that in
February. That's great news.
You that in February when the Australian broke the news that he was delaying his contract deferring his contract till the end of the year, but I still said I'm very confident.
Well, I'm putting more weight on Brendan Gale as the CEO, Greg, telling us last night on SEN he's just about to sign the contract. So I think that is great news. That's more positive than what Dangerfield is with the Adelaide Crows, let me tell you that. I haven't heard their CEO say that. This is interesting. Geelong fans...
Who is their CEO?
Geelong fans are telling me...
Have they got one?
I don't know.
Nor do I.
Geelong fans are telling me that next year, not only will they have Dangerfield next year, playing at the Cats, but they'll have Henderson as well and Scott Selwood
in 2016. No. Scott Selwood plays for West Coast, Kevin.
I've heard he's playing at Geelong next year.
No, well, I don't know who told you, but they're wrong because he'll be re-signing at I would think, give him another couple of weeks to hit a bit of form and he'll be re-signed at West Coast for another three years.
He's not signed, Greg, you see. That'd be great off-season work by the Cats. Dangerfield, Henderson and Scott Selwood.
I don't talk rubbish, Kevin.
Maybe they can win the flag in 2016. Steve's in Doncaster. G'day, Steve.
G'day, boys. Love the show, Kev.
Thanks, Steve.
Greg, you mentioned from the top that you felt confident that Dangerfield will end up at Geelong. I wouldn't discount Collingwood either with Josh Thomas and Lockie Keith. That'll free up quite a bit of room in the salary cap, and they've still got money left over from Dane Beans also as well. So I wouldn't be discounting Collingwood to be in the mix for Dangerfield. In addition to that, they've also got a couple of South Australian boys which still haven't signed up in Sharonberg, and I think there's one other, I'm not quite sure of his name. So that could all be in the mix come the end of the year.
Yeah, look, I just, that certainly was doing the rounds, but maybe 6 weeks ago, that don't write off Collingwood for Dangerfield, but sort of talking to Paul Connors, that's not exactly what he's, not exactly saying, but relaying. The message is not there that there's any other club involved outside of Adelaide than Geelong.
Well, we didn't think Buddy Franklin was going to Sydney Swans.
Different manager, Kevin. Paul Connors tells the truth.
Oh, that's pretty harsh to say that against Liam Pickering.
Well, what did Liam do? He lied. I'm telling you exactly what he did. He lied.
People just didn't ask him the direct question.
Oh, don't be silly. Don't, Kevin.
He just answered yes and no.
Come on.
Patrick is in Point Cook. G'day, Patrick.
Good morning, KB. Morning, Greg. How are you going?
Good, mate.
I just think that Fremantle need that young key position forward to get over the line to win that flag. Jesse Hogan, Cam McCarthy, they should throw the kitchen sink at either of those two.
Well, they could, but it won't work because
It won't work?
Jesse Hogan is definitely staying at Melbourne. He has no plans to go back to Perth.
Has he signed on? When's he signed on to? What's his contract?
I think he's got another couple of years after this, I reckon.
What about the great McCarthy?
Don't know about the great McCarthy, but he's a nice little player. He's a very good player. Don't know, but I would imagine that... I think Fremantle obviously have changed their policy from recent years, and that is they're going to go down the line of pretty much West Coast. We're trying to get basically expats back home. They've failed in trying
McCarthy
to lure...
McCarthy comes from South Coogee.
Yeah, he does. I'm glad you said Coogee and not Coogee, Kev.
No, South Coogee.
Very
is where
well
it comes
educated,
from.
Which is near South Fremantle.
South Fremantle.
Yeah, look, I think that anyone that is a West Australian that's out of contract or free agent, and Leuenberger jumps to mind straight away as well at the end of the year, both clubs will probably have a crack at trying to get them back.
Because I agree with you, Patrick. I mean, McCarthy's an exciting talent. He's been absolutely fantastic this year. He's grabbed his chance with Tom Boyd going across to the Bulldogs and Patton being out of the side as well. And, you know, Pavlidis the last couple of weeks after starting the season well has looked pretty flat.
Looks sore too, doesn't
Looks
he?
Pretty flat at the moment. Yeah, so I reckon, Patrick, if I reckon you're right there. They've had a couple of cracks, haven't they, in the last few years to get some big players across.
And big names. Big and names. You only have to go Cloke, Frawley. There's been other ones too. And talking to Fremantle, they're going to sort of change their strategy in a way and just get back Western Australians if they can.
He'd be fantastic, McCarthy. Adrian's from Yarraville. G'day, Adrian.
Morning, KB and Greg.
G'day, Adrian.
I was at State Origin last night, and I reckon the minutes applause would be more appropriate given some of the disgraceful behaviour. And also, the scoreboard at the MCG didn't show the tackle count last night, and the MCG said the NRL was responsible. Is there a reason why they didn't have the tackle counter?
Was Shebeki there last
no,
night?
No. Shebeki sure? was not the voice of the G last night. I don't know that, Adrian, but you make an interesting point, and I'd like to ask the fans this. Look, it was very disappointing last night, not observing the minute silence by a number of people in the crowd, because we've come accustomed right in this state that on those important occasions that our crowds have been absolutely fantastic. Our AFL crowds, you can hear a pin drop. They will not make a noise. Now, last night, there was obviously some fools in the crowd. Not all of them. There was a great crowd, 91,500 fans there last night. So let's say the majority of the crowd were absolutely fantastic. But, you know, if they didn't know who Ron Clark was, well, you know, don't yell out, who's this bloke and all that sort of stuff. I had friends at the game and they were saying it was disgraceful what people were yelling out. Who is this bloke? Don't know him. All that sort of stuff. Well, keep your mouth shut and Google and find out and then show that person some respect. I want to play this bit of audio too because it upset Daniel Andrews, the Premier of Victoria.
You get 91,500 people in any space, you're always going to have a few idiots, and that's exactly what they were. Completely disrespectful idiots who don't do our city, our state, or indeed our nation any credit at all. Ron Clark was a great Australian, a great Victorian.
But just on that, a good point that was just made by Adrian, and I'd like to get some feedback off 0433 98 11 16, or give us a buzz, 94291116. On those occasions, do we celebrate a person's achievements by a minute's silence, or do we clap?
Either way, Kevin.
What is better, do you think, in terms of, you know, acknowledging the deeds of someone? And also, if you are clapping, of course, it does take away any of these yahoos who may want to yell out, you know, during a minute's silence.
Oh, look, I probably
5 minutes of fame.
I probably prefer applause and cheering and three cheers and all those noisy side of it. But I mean, either way.
At a lot of funerals, Greg, there's a lot of clapping now, you know, as appreciation of a person celebrating a person's life. I'd like to get some feedback on that because I think it's an interesting one, whether you have silence or whether you have applause. 94291116. When we come back, Greg Denham's match committee as well. This is your opportunity to tell us who should be in and who should be out. And, of course, if you want to continue any conversation with Greg, you go down to the Spread Eagle Hotel. That's where he lives, right in the heart of Tigerland. In Bridge Road, of course, on the corner of Coppin Street. That's real Richmond hospitality down there because they're going to welcome all Richmond fans in for a drink with friends before they smash West Coast tomorrow night at the G. Is there free grog on tomorrow night, Greg, if they win the Tigers?
Don't ask for too much. Grog? Don't get ahead of yourself.
Well, just find out from the spready, will you? 94286895. Give them a call and ask them that question.
Yeah, we'll make those assessments as in the ensuing days. You know, we're quietly confident.
When you don't bring effort or you don't play to what the instructions are, and that you have to find out what the reason is.
He's in the mix, stayed in the mix because of what he did today, so it was quite encouraging.
Thursday's selection day in the AFL. Who's in? Who's out? Who have you lost patience with? Call 9429 1116 to join the match committee and pick your team's best side.
Yes, who have you lost patience with? And the ins and outs, 9429 1116 0433 98 1116. I know this is a little bit left field, but I did speak last week about Joey Pignataro. Should be in the seniors at St Bernard's. They've got something against Joey down there. Anthony Rock hasn't got a clue what he's doing with the senior side down there. He's only playing in the thirds at the moment, but he dominates each week. And Anthony Pignataro last week had 51 possessions last week. He kicked the goal of the year, a 45-metre goal from the boundary line that dribbled and zigzagged like a snake.
What about his GPS?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned it, Greg. 19.1 Ks last week.
Should be upgraded.
He should go straight from the thirds into the seniors. Yep. St. Bernard's are playing Trinity this week, top of the table clash. And what they should do is they should bring Joey in from the thirds straight into the seniors, because
of course Joey's our producer here.
He's my producer here. And I'm not being biased.
Producer,
I'm not being biased here. He is a gun. Okay. In fact, he's nearly good enough to get a game with Carlton.
Well, I was just going to go straight down the line and say, unfortunately for Melbourne, I guess Chris Dawes has to come back because they've lost.
Not unfortunately.
Unfortunately, Kevin, they've lost a few players. Pedersen, Grimes with injuries. They've still got, I don't know if Garland's playing. He might have to miss one more week, but he's been crucially missed in the back line. And so Dawes might have to come in on Sunday.
Okay, on Sunday. They're playing against the Mighty Cats on Sunday. Ins and outs, Greg Denham's match committee. Dom is in Reservoir. G'day, Dom.
Good morning, gentlemen.
G'day, Dom.
Just regarding Aaron Black, you were mentioning before that Freo were keen to entice Western Australians back home, and the room is pretty strong that Black is a bit disillusioned there because he's missing out week in, week out. But I watched him last week for North Ballarat, and he took about 10 marks. Had his best game, but he kicked 2 goals, 5, including one, literally 15 metres out directly in front. He missed. Yeah. So he, like all North forwards, who just continue to waste set shot opportunities, have just got the yips kicking a goal because the pressures just must be just way too great. So I'm just wondering, I mean, I'd be very upset to see the back of, or to see Aaron Black leave. But if he does, Greg, what are your rumours from WA suggesting? Like, do you think North are in a position to entice, like, Victorian-based or Victorian-born fringe players like Crozier or Sheridan back home as a direct swap?
Well, there'd have to be a trade. So there would certainly have to be a player involved. He's contracted till the end of 2017. Fremantle made a big play for him, which I must admit surprised me, a couple of years ago, which he declined. Look, it would probably be his choice, and it may well be one of those trades
he's
where opportunity is too good not to go.
But he's got to go, Greg.
So, look, I would think he's a better prospect than a player like Jack Anthony was for Fremantle a couple of years ago. So he might be
playing the other day up in the Northern Territory, Jack.
How'd he play?
Well, he's playing quite well.
Okay.
Playing quite well up there. He was taking some good marks and kicked some goals as well. But look, I think someone like Aaron Black, they've got to go, because if they're not getting a game, Greg, and they're fourth in line or fifth in line, there's Magic Dore too, as well, when he's up and going, who plays that position as well. So, you know, for that young man's career, he doesn't want to be playing reserves football. He wants to be playing senior football.
Not when a 31 or 32-year-old comes in from another club and takes your spot. I think that's a slap in the face. So I think that, you know, obviously it would be up to him, but I would suspect that it would be inviting at the moment.
Shane is in Williamstown. G'day, Shane.
Good morning, gents. In regards to last night, yeah, I thought it was disgraceful, the minute silence. I think, unfortunately, it's a fairly blokey culture, the NRL, as much as it's a great spectacle. Mm. A lot of alcohol involved. And I also agree with the comment before. For people trying to understand what the game is, they must have the tackle count on the big screen, because that's where you know where you're at. If you don't have a tackle count, you lose where you're at in the game. So they need to make sure they get that right.
Well, it was on the television. I stayed home watching on the TV last night. The tackle count was going up on the TV, so I'm not quite certain why it wasn't actually at the ground. Just on your comments about the behaviour of the crowd. Some of the feedback says, I think the applause for a death such as Ron Clark to celebrate his life and a minute silence for a devastating loss such as Martin Place. Others are saying, if there are ferals from Queensland or New South Wales in the crowd, clapping is a good idea. Victorian crowds can do a minute silence. Guys, I tell you why they're yelling out at the G. I went to the last Origin game at Telstra Dome, and the most interstate visitors are on the grog heavily all day before they go to the ground. Others are saying, I mean, it was a disgrace. There were a lot of people yelling out who should have been escorted out of the ground. Others are saying Ron Clark broke more world records than those yobbos have brain cells. Others are saying I was too young to remember Ron Clark, but being there last night and hearing those fools made me feel sick. We'll take a break. Greg Denham's joined us. Also coming up, Steve Salisbury, the man from Sacramento. Mark Hayes, Golf Australia media manager over at the US Open. Michelangelo Rucci, the leading AFL scribe in Adelaide, will join us. The Rooch and the Buzz, Johnny Ralph, will join us in the studio taking your calls and his famous three stings as well. Ben's in Wodonga, wants to talk about a minute's silence. G'day, Ben.
Hey, KB, Greg.
G'day, mate.
Long time, how are you?
Good on you.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, boys, just on this minute silence stuff, I was just thinking, four people passing away, I reckon a round of applause just to celebrate their life. But if you're talking a tragedy, say, you know, Anzac Day or something like Anfield, well, maybe a silence would be the best option.
Look, that seems to be the general feeling coming off the message bank, that if there's a tragedy, then it's silence. But if it's to celebrate someone's life, such as Ron Clark, then maybe the applause is more appropriate, particularly at the MCG where he lit the flame, of course, for the Olympic Games as well. Thank you for all of our callers. Greg, we'll catch you tomorrow.
We'll do. Cheers.
Catch you tomorrow. Coming up, the man from Sacramento.